The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
So you hear that, believers? Don't talk over each other. Sounds like you're all in bed with one another. Bisping cuts off Anthony on his own podcast. You see these cunts, Anthony Smith? Oh shit, bleep that out. Yeah, that first 5 minutes, we can't swear, but do you see these concerned believers, Anthony?
I do. And you know, I appreciate them looking out for me. Do you know you do cut me off a lot on my own podcast though?
It's called keeping the conversation flowing. It's called you say something really interesting that I want to interject with there and not circle back to it when you finish making your long, egg drawn out point.
They are long and they're drawn out. Honestly, I never noticed it.
I'm kidding.
I crack up about the comments though.
God damn son of a guns. We have got a lot to talk about other than bitching about the people in the comment section. We've still got no bits and bobs in Anthony Smith's cloakroom. We need some bits and bobs.
I have an address. Ooh. Because I got lots of messages about where people want to send the bits and bobs.
Well, I want bits and bobs.
So send them. Send Michael's to me too. to 7616 Burlington Street, Omaha, Nebraska. Jesus. And I'll pick up the bits and bobs there.
Bits and bobs all over the place. It's going to be like Santa's grotto in there next week.
I hope so.
Talking of which, we've got the tree up. You know, Christmas is coming. Goose is getting fat. Finish it.
I got three Christmas trees in my house.
Please put a penny.
Love Christmas.
Yeah, I've got two. It's not a competition, but next week I'm going to have four. Christmas is coming. The goose is getting fat. Please put a penny.
This is very British.
Oh, it's a British thing.
Oh,
In St. Nick's hat?
In an old man's hat. Christmas, you don't know that song?
No.
Well, I'm embarrassed to say that I do. Rebecca, just close that door on your way past and your way out. Welcome to the show, everyone. Hope you're all well. Rebecca, if you find those headphones, let me know because Brian's having a heart attack. But we're just going to get right into what I think was a goddamn masterpiece at the weekend. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson and Kevin Holland. Because it takes two to tango. You know what I mean? And without Kevin Holland, that fight wouldn't have been half of what it was. I just say that right off the bat. That at the weekend, I said it on air, one of the recency bias is a thing, but that was one of the best fights I've witnessed, certainly in recent memory, but it was just sensational. Now, people heard from me on Saturday night. So, Anthony, we're going to try and let you do it without me interrupting. Can I do it? Can I do it? Place your bets.
Yeah, it was a fantastic fight. I think you pretty much said it all then, but just the striking back and forth. Stephen Thompson looked fast. You know, there's that clip that came out of Kevin Holland in the corner saying, you know, that old ass motherfucker is fast. You know, for a guy like Kevin Holland, who's pretty fast himself, pretty elusive, does a good job of not taking big shots. To even make that comment, I think speaks a lot to Wonderboy. But like I think I said last week, that anyone who doesn't present a credible wrestling threat to Wonderboy, there's not too many guys at welterweight I would pick against him, if anybody at all. So yeah. Short of being, you know, being clipped and knocked out with Pettis, you know, that shit happens, but it was a fantastic fight. And I agree with your critique of Kevin Holland's approach, you know, where he ended up on top. He didn't shoot a takedown. The feet got tangled up. He ended up on top. I agree that that was a moment where his decision making needed to be questioned for sure.
Yeah, well, you know, I was quite vocal on Twitter yesterday. You might have saw it, because MMA Fighting and MMA Junkie, which are respectable outlets, you know what I mean? And they do great work putting the word of mixed martial arts out there. So it's not like I'm going to war with them or nothing, but they both said Michael Bisping criticizes Kevin Holland's approach. And it's like, whoa, hold on a minute and hold on. Lucas, shut up. I've got no headphones in. I hear your loud, booming voice. I'm trying to not interrupt Anthony Smith and all I hear is you. So shut your goddamn mouth. My son's 12. He's got a deeper voice than me. It vibrates around the house. Michael Bisping criticizes Kevin Holland. I don't want that to be a headline that's going round after he goes out there and puts on such a war, because I have such respect. Now, yeah, I did critique his performance, but that's our jobs as analysts. So that was a little clickbaity. So I was a little annoyed at that. But first of all, hold on.
I'm gonna cut you off.
Yeah, you did.
If we're playing devil's avocado here,
favorite game.
Do you do any kind of attention seeking titles on your videos at all?
I mean,
to grasp the viewer. Because listen, if they just said Michael Bisping, bigs up Kevin Holland and Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, no one's going to click on it because they watched the fight. They need to get people into the article.
Absolutely. So, and they can run their business as they see fit. I just want to make sure that somebody like Kevin Holland, who I have tremendous respect for, isn't sitting there on Sunday, a little annoyed, face bust up to hell, body black and blue, hurting like crazy. And then somebody like me, that when I see him, I go over, we shake hands and we interact, and now comes across as like a two-faced bastard criticizing his performance, which I thought was outstanding. Do you know what I mean? So they can run their business as they want. But when it's painting an unfair portrayal of what I said, that's what gets me annoyed. And annoyed isn't the right word. I just thought that I had to correct it. I thought Wonderboy was amazing, you know, like, and the speed, he hasn't lost anything. He was fast as lightning. The shots were so crisp. The wheel kicks, the hook kicks that he was landing right to the top of the dome on Holland, and Holland being able to take them. Listen, as I said, two to tango. Holland took so many shots. He's such a tough son of a bitch, right? To be able to take them shots and still fight the way he did. And then I thought it was genius because Wonderboy was going high. And of course, oldest trick in the book, you go low, you go to the body. And they were whipping, punishing shots. You know what I mean? And to him to take them, but that was the beginning of the end. And of course, Holland broke his hand and it was back and forth and it was a great fight. But as the fight was going on, Wonderboy found his rhythm. He was in the zone, you know, and when you're in that zone and you feel like you can't miss and you've got a wounded prey and you're just going after it, it just feels great. So I have no qualms with either Holland or his coach, whoever it was that called it off, because he wasn't going to win that fight at that point. And he was injured as well. But let's talk about, they both said, we're not going to shoot. And that gets said a lot. That gets said a lot all the time, but then generally people do shoot. And I understand Holland ended up on top a couple of times and backed away, you know, to adhere to that warrior's code, if you will. But that code went out the window in round four when he was trying to take him down every 30 seconds and shooting for double legs. Because at that point, it's like survival instinct. It's not about warrior's code. It's not about being a G. It's not about trying to impress anybody. And it's not about win bonuses or career paths that you might take. You know, Anthony, at that point, it becomes about survival because you forget about the crowd. You forget about your family to a certain degree. You're trying to maintain your consciousness and not get flatlined in front of the entire world. So he was shooting for double legs. And my point was afterwards was in hindsight, everything's 20-20, apart from me with one eye. But it is. So it's easy to sit there and go, he should have kept that takedown. He should. That doesn't mean I don't think the fight was amazing. I thought it was sensational and I respected it at the time. But in hindsight, Monday morning quarterback, your coach is breaking it down, said, Kevin, you should have kept that top position.
Well, especially if you were going to end up shooting anyways, you know, like that's the point. I appreciate guys like Kevin Holland who kind of adhere to that. And I don't hold it against him that he didn't. Once you're cooked, you got to do what you got to do. Like, and I don't think Wonderboy probably was surprised I'm sure that at some point in time, Wonder Boy was probably thinking, man, this guy's got to take a shot at some point in time, because he was a sitting duck. You know, that the power that Kevin Holland had in his right hand, you know, up until he broke it, was the only thing keeping Stephen Thompson off of him. Once he didn't have that anymore, and he was no longer a threat, you got to shoot a takedown or you're going to get fucking highlight reel, and it's going to be ugly.
Exactly. But still, you know, the night belonged to Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. I thought he was sensational from start to finish, as was Kevin Holland. I think Kevin's one of those guys that is so entertaining, and he is such a character. Like, I saw him Thursday night. I got there, right? And I went to the gym for a little workout, nothing crazy. Just ran on the treadmill for a bit. And Kevin Holland was doing his weight cut, and he was singing and rapping away at the top of his voice with all his team around him, and they were filming for like features for the UFC and stuff. But, you know, to be so upbeat and be so high energy going through the worst part of any training camp or fight, I was like, again, this guy's authentic. It is not an act. That is who he is. And I love him for it. But I would like to see him just to try and have a little bit more discipline in the approach, because he's so long. He's so talented, so tough. He can take a shot. He can land a shot. He's fast. He's long. He's got great jiu-jitsu. He's got good striking. But it's a little, and again, I am critiquing here. I am. But it could be a little bit more disciplined. Do you follow what I'm saying? And do you agree?
Yeah, he could be a little more focused. I think he gets distracted in there. And it, almost like the fun that he's having in the fight, it distracts him from whatever game plan he had. You know, there's a couple of fights where he's laser focused the whole time. You can tell he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, and he's dynamite. But he gets having fun, and he gets high fiving, and he's laughing, and he gets a top position, but he doesn't want to keep it. He gets wrapped up into the fight a little bit. It's similar with like Derek Brunson. Like, he had Derek Brunson pretty tired a couple times, and Peter just worked a little harder and been a little more focused, and maybe focused less on the trash talk and what was going on outside of the octagon. Maybe focused a little more on the inside. He just gets wrapped up a little bit distracted. I think I think discipline is a good way of putting it. Just be a little more disciplined, a little more tuned, and have a little less fun.
Yeah. But again, we're not criticizing, we are critiquing. There's a distinct difference, and it's constructive. But still, massive fan of both of them. Now, I tell you what, who stole the show Saturday night? I mean, Taito Avarsa walks in there, the place loses its mind. People love him in the octagon, outside the octagon. He's so calm, cool, collected, and he fights like a goddamn beast. But Sergei Pavlovich, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm just going to get way ahead of it myself and say, I want to see him versus Francis Ngannou for the title of the hardest hitting goddamn son of a bitch in all the UFC, because Sergei Pavlovich connects with you. You have got a real problem on your hands. Just did that to Ty. Did it to Derek Lewis before that. Hold on. It's done five in a row. Derek Lewis, Shamil Abdurakhimov, Maurice Green, and Marcelo Gomes. So the last two are big names, right? He's a fucking monster, man.
He fought right after me in my last fight, and I kept joking with his Russian translator, and I kept saying, ask him how he got so fucking big.
Oh yeah,
like, remember that? Like, I told you that. Like, that man just, I don't know, it's so weird.
He doesn't drink alcohol.
At all?
At all.
What's wrong with him?
What is wrong with him? Exactly. brother, you need to have some vodka. You need to go out there. You need to smash the bam bam. And then after this, you drink Russian vodka. It's very good for you. Make you sleep long flight home back to Moscow. For this, you need lots of alcohol. He doesn't drink. He said on the, was it in the In Cage interview? I think he said, I enjoy a drink or something. He said it at some point during the week. And his translator was like, nope, I don't drink at all. And I'm like, okay, well, you're exciting in the ring. But yeah, you're probably the most boring son of a bitch ever to hang around with.
Well, he's so calculated. Like, I mean, what's he throw, four punches a fight? Like, just everyone goes down. He's super calculated. He's got to be a nightmare for the UFC, though, to market that guy. It's got to be impossible.
Yeah, he doesn't say, a non-drinker.
He doesn't say shit. He doesn't drink Russian
vodka. Howl head.
Yeah.
Proper 12. Modelo. He's out there saying, I don't drink. The UFC are like, yeah, we don't need this guy. No, he's amazing. And tied to Avassa. You know,
you think he came back too early?
Say again?
You think he came back too early from the Cyril Gane fight?
Potentially. You know, I did have concerns when I saw he was fighting Sergey after that tough fight against Cyril. You know,
yeah. He
said now he's taking 6 months off because he just wants to have some time with his family. Obviously, there's a pay-per-view in Perth. He said, I'm not interested. He said, I'll go there, but I don't want to be training over Christmas. I want to enjoy it with my son. I've worked my ass off. We've made some money. And this is what I really respected about him. You know, this grind, the work, the business, you're chasing dreams, you're trying to make money. He's like, I don't care. It's important to me that I spend Christmas with my son. So I'm not fighting in Perth. I'm having 6 months off. I don't care what. And number one, that's beautiful to see because sometimes you got to prioritize things. It's like Steve Jobs said on his deathbed, you know what I mean? Never mind all the money, you got to make the memories. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I really respect that. And secondly, it's the best thing for him anyway. He needs 6 months off. Not because, you know, he's not tough enough or anything like that. Not because there'll be psychological demons. Partly because A, take a break because he's had a lot of fights. B, it'll be good for the brain, you know, in terms of CTE when he gets older. Plus in that 6 months, you can go to the gym, he can work on a few things. Not that he's going to become a Dagestani and be fucking single-legging people all over the place, but he can improve his skill set a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the brain health thing is number one. And I think that gets lost sometimes, especially on the heavyweights. Like, it's cool to go back-to-back-to-back. I mean, make a shit ton of money. You can really set yourself up in some positive places. But you take he had a war with Cyril Gane. I mean, that dude's fought twice since I've been injured. It's not like I've been out 4 years with a leg injury. You know what I mean? Like, I've been out since July. He's fought twice since because I called the fight in Paris and then he just fought this last weekend. Like, take a break. That's two pretty damaging knockouts.
The one in Paris was September. We're only in November, October. Yeah. I'm at the start. Is it start? No, it's start of December. What am I saying?
Yeah.
October, November. It's 2 months, 2 months away. Yeah, love that guy. And you know what? When I landed in LA, I didn't get back to my hotel room till like fucking 3:30 a.m. I had to leave at 5 to go to the airport. Oh, God, I was exhausted. You know, you're always at two minds. Do I stay up or do I go to sleep? In that situation, Anthony, usually I stay up.
Always.
And I do an all-nighter and I have some drinks.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get alcohol in Florida after 1 a.m. I was devastated. I was like, well, there's no point staying up. What am I going to do? Sit in my hotel room for an hour and a half and twiddle my thumbs like a knobhead or twiddle something else. I was like, no, I'm going to get a little nap. I set my alarm. Oh, I slept through it. But I just made it at the airport in time. And when I landed in LA, there was a guy there. I didn't know. I said, excuse me, mate. Is this the carousel for Florida? He's like, yeah, mate, I'm one of Ty's boys. How you doing? And he was an Australian guy. Started talking. Yeah. He's like, yeah, Ty's is going to be here in LA a couple of days. We're going to hang out, whatever. Yeah, he'll be all right. He's the fucking man. All right, let's just talk about FitBod really quick. Listen, in this day and age, we know we've got to be healthy. We've got to work out. We've got to take control of our lives, our weight. We've got to get our heart rate up and get sweating. But sometimes when you go to the gym, even if you've got the motivation to go there in the first place, sometimes you don't know what to do. Okay, you get bored. Well, that is where FitBod comes in. FitBod is the smart workout app that creates custom workouts designed to your goals, your experience, and ultimately your needs and your equipment. Even if you're just working out at home or the park or whatever, FitBod will be there to give you a workout. Keep it fresh, keep it spicy, keep it changing, and it tracks all your results, your muscle usage, recovery, achievements, workout streaks, everything. You can see right there in the app. By the way, you're in control because the workouts are designed just for you. That is correct. They use an algorithm, takes that data and the analytics that you put into it, and it builds the best workout for you based on your previous performance. So you're always getting pushed to the limit. And by the way, the app is very, very easy to use. And it also includes, and this is very cool, video tutorials for every exercise. Okay, so learning them is a breeze. You're never going to run out of inspiration. And you're going to get all of this for less than the cost of one personal training session with a trainer. You know what I mean? Having a personal coach is fantastic, but it gets pricey, especially if you're doing it every week. Well, you can have all those benefits for the cost of one session, 24/7, 365 in your pocket. So it doesn't matter if you're on the go, you know, to and fro, wherever you're going, you can take the app with you. You can get the workout in at the park, at the bench, at the gym, in your front room, doing a podcast, maybe not doing a podcast, but whatever it is that you're doing, you want to work out, you want to keep it fresh, you want to keep it varied, you want to track your results, you want to make gains. That is where FitBod comes in. And of course, we always have a great offer. Right now, go to fitbod.me/believe, and they're going to give you 25% off the subscription, or you can just try the app out for free. So, I mean, come on, give it a shot. What's not to like? You can try it out for free, and then if you subscribe, you can get 25% off your subscription by going to fitbod.me, F-I-T-B-O-D, fitbod.me/believe. Good luck. What else we got? What else we got on the main card before we move on? Anything big we want to talk about on the main card? Of course, Roman Dolidze, Jacob Manson, that was impressive.
Super impressive.
Eric Anders got back to winning ways. Phil Rowe, Nico Price, that was a fun fight. Mateus Nicolau got that stoppage in the second round after a boring first round. A great night of fights, top to bottom. Before we move on and discuss some things else, anything you want to bring up, Anthony?
I think Roman Dolidze is he's got a bit of a run here. You know, he's just collected the scalp of a pretty big name, pretty high ranked guy in the division. So, I'm just happy for that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, me too.
He had some weird struggles at the beginning. Yeah,
round two before that, Phil Hawes round one, Kyle Dorcas in round one, and Lorano Staropoli in round three, four in a row. In fact, his only loss in the UFC, I'm just looking at his record, Trevin Giles by decision. Other than that, he is 6-1 in the organization. And he's a big, powerful dude.
Yeah. Crazy jiu-jitsu too.
Yeah.
He doesn't always use. At the beginning of his career, he was in these back and forth striking battles, and it would just drive me crazy. Like, your jiu-jitsu, it's so MMA based. Like, he's an ADCC guy, so it's, you know, top pressure and control and just a good base for MMA. And it just used to piss me off so bad. Like, you just walk around with this goddamn fantastic jiu-jitsu game, not using it. But now, lately, he's been looking really good.
So do you want to hear, I've just got a text message. Do you want to hear some potentially breaking news, or it could be a lot of nonsense?
Yeah. What happened?
So my video editor on the YouTube channel, shout out John Brannigan, says TJ Dillashaw has informed the UFC of his retirement, but it's not confirmed. We'll know soon. I said, how do you know? He said, Cejudo's producer, video producer, also tweeted it. He said he's tweeted some stuff before that turns out to be correct. Hamilton, just look that up and see if you can see anything. TJ Dillashaw, I guess we won't go off on a tangent for 10 minutes about a potentially fake piece of news. But interesting. But just so you know, if it does turn out to be true, it was broken here first on the Believe You Me podcast, right?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
God damn
actually,
it.
You know, I don't care what Mike's doing. We're just going to err on the side of caution. And we're going to say, guys, listen, TJ Dillashaw has decided that he's retiring. And what a fantastic career.
News just in. TJ Dillashaw hangs gloves up after getting ass whooped in last time out and broken shoulder. Henry Cejudo says, beep, beep. What is that? What was that? Is that like how they used to do it back in the day?
Yeah. It's like the breaking news alerts.
News of the world. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. We just broke it right here. We broke it right here.
But we also knew this. Beep, beep. Fuck you, Harrington. Harrington, get on the show. Bring us some comedy relief. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Mike. Doing great. I had an awesome weekend. Okay.
Why?
Well,
why?
What?
Why was it awesome?
I mean, I got to hang out with Brian at my house. We had a nice dinner. We played, you know, some nerdy card games. Got great fights on Saturday. Got to watch football all day while my girl made a baby registry. It was a great weekend. What's that?
It won't zoom on my high fancy camera because it's going to be focused. He's been removed from the roster, apparently.
Oh, roster watch guy on Twitter.
Oh, Dilladong. Well, that's good for you, Harrington. You had a great weekend, did you? Well, I'm happy for you. Well, we were working our asses off trying to build this podcast. No wonder my back's broken. What's going on with your daughter, Anthony? You were just going to say before the show started, she had some kind of procedure.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's a hereditary thing or what it is, but I think all but one of my kids has had either a lip tie or a tongue tie. So like being tongue tied is an actual thing. So a tongue tie is where the webbing that holds your tongue on the bottom of your mouth. If it's too short, yeah, right there. If it's too short, they can't lift their tongue off of the bottom of their mouth. So when they were trying to like breastfeed or eat bottles when they were babies, for the first couple of weeks, it was a struggle. It was just a constant
so
battle.
That's why they call that tongue tied. That's where that expression comes from.
Mm-hmm. So we had to go to this doctor, and they just grabbed her tongue with these little, she was probably 3 weeks old maybe. And they grabbed her tongue with these little tong things, lifted her tongue up and just clipped that webbing. So, and then they immediately like put her on the breast so she could breastfeed, and it was fine. But then one of my other kids had a lip tie, and now the baby has a lip tie. So it's where
you,
the webbing.
You explained to me it's not an interruption.
Yeah, you're fine.
It's not an interruption. Beep, beep,
it's
beep,
not.
Beep, beep. This is not an interruption. explain to them what a lip tie is though, because I was like, what's a lip tie?
A lip tie, if you guys take your tongue and you put it on the front of your teeth, right in the middle, and you run it up to your lip, right there, you'll feel there's a webbing in the top of your lip. Well, when people are lip tied, that webbing is all the way down to like where it's in between their teeth. So the webbing is, it sucks their top lip to their teeth or to their, yeah, it sucks their top lip in. So they can't remove their lip or like do like a kissy smoochy face or anything like that. It causes problems with feeding. And then as they start to talk, it'll cause a speech impediment because their lips don't move like normal people. So, my second oldest had one, and now the baby had one too. So we caught the babies earlier than we caught the other one. And so we had to go in, they had to numb it. It like used a gel to numb it. And then we had to hold her down, they'd stick her with the needle to do the anesthetic. And then they just peel her lip back and they just cut that fucking thing out of there while we're holding her down. It's pretty fucking terrible.
Just slice the skin.
Yeah, they just cut that webbing. And like my second oldest, it was so bad. The piece of webbing had grew between her teeth. So she looked like, Michael Strahan had those two teeth.
Oh, yeah.
That's what she looked like with this, you know, vascular piece of shit. So they had to dig it out from in between her teeth.
So you can get tongue tied.
Mm-hmm.
You can get lip tied.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get bollock tied? Scrotum tied, because you got a similar piece of skin going from your balls.
Oh, I don't know.
To your body. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I'm not, but
he's ball tied. That's what's going on.
Ball tied.
He's ball tied, baby. Harrington, have you ever been ball tied?
No, not yet. Not my 34 years.
Your balls when the baby comes, just so you know.
I was going to say, he's about to be.
You're about to be ball tied.
For sure.
Ball tied. Harrington, throw a story at us. This is the fun for it. Throw us a story.
Okay. Well, all right. We want to probably the biggest news everybody's talking about. Kanye West had a wild Friday night, wild Thursday into Friday. Talked quite a bit of stuff on Alex's Jones show, and then put out a tweet that had the Star of David with a swastika in it. Has since been kicked off of the platform.
Of Twitter?
Yes.
I thought Elon Musk wasn't doing that. I thought he was allowing it as the last bastion of free speech.
Yeah, so he came out and said he tried with Kanye. He really did give him a shot, but he is inciting violence with his rhetoric that he's been spewing, and as a result, can't have him anymore.
Right, okay. Brian says, do we want to see it? I guess we do. I mean...
Jesus Christ, Kanye.
What is he doing? I stuck up
for him before. Like, listen, he's just a crazy guy. There's obviously some things going on with him. Like, just whatever. I stuck up for him. You can't say there's some positive things about Hitler.
No.
And then now your new Yay logo looks like a goddamn swastika. You're an idiot.
Oh, that's his new logo. Sorry, I was just massaging my head. I'm getting very, very bad headaches again.
Yeah, I think that's going to be his album art for the next thing he does, which is a mistake.
Well, he might struggle to find producers to work on that album. Do you know what I mean? Or maybe not, but he's out of his mind. Oh, yeah, great things about Hitler. I mean, he only killed, I don't know how many people died in the Second World War, but it was a lot. It was a lot. Yeah, but it just dawned on me. We talked about this recently. So I'm sorry, Harrington. I mean, Kanye's out of his fucking mind. He gets Dildo of the Year. I mean, we're talking about Greatest Fighter of the Year award. We're bringing in a new BYM award. Dildo of the Year. Who would be up for Dildo of the Year? Obviously, Dylan Danis is always gets
Liver King.
Who?
The Liver King.
The Liver fucking King.
Yeah.
This is a closely tied... We're going to get to the Liver King. We'll do that now. But we've got MMA shit to talk about. But the Liver King, Dildo, for sure. Dylan Danis, as I say, honorable mention every time. Kanye West, who else?
Connor.
We get one nomination each for Dildo of the Year. Yours is Liver King?
Liver King, for sure.
All right, I'm going Kanye West, even though I love his music.
Conor McGregor.
Good choice. Harrington?
If nobody else is going to take Dylan Danis, I will.
No, he gets honorable mention. You need
honorable mention.
Thought.
Hmm.
You know, just come back to us when you've got one. It's not great podcasting to just
me.
Didn't we talk about some dildo last week?
No, we'll put a poll up in the show live tonight. Who gets
who's the dildo we talked about last week?
Who?
Who? What the hell's his name? Damn it! This is bad podcast. No. The rich idiot.
British.
The rich idiot.
Andrew Tate?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the guy I said.
Oh.
Be careful. People like Andrew Tate. I was getting a lot of shit.
Really?
Be careful.
Oh, sorry.
Listen, I'm Andrew fucking Tate, okay? Now.
He's probably cool, but.
Excuse me while I just smoke a gigantic cigar. he's a bit of a dildo. Fuck you in the comments.
A dildo.
All right, so there it is. We got the four. Andrew Tate, Kanye West, Liver King, and Conor McGregor. All right, solid competition. That's a tough one. Dildo of the Year. We're doing this every single year. Dildo of the Year. We're getting T-shirts made. Harrington. Not Harrington. I'm going to look at the notes myself because he's throwing out Kanye West stuff. In terms of mixed martial arts, what's the biggest story right now? We've got two guests coming on Thursday. Well, in fact, we've got three guests. Anthony Smith is joining us for Thursday's episode. Round of applause, everyone.
There we go.
And the crowd goes wild. We've also got Tom Aspinall joining us.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Tom's coming on. And we've also got Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Anthony reached out, got a response. I reached out first, got no response. But when he responded to you, then he responded to me. And that was like I'm trying to piggyback on Anthony's booking. I was like, I already did it first. But he just felt the need to give me a pity response. After responding,
Steven's my guy.
Oh, God.
He's a nice guy. He's a nice guy.
So, a big show Thursday. Don't miss that one. So, Aljamain Sterling, Henry Cejudo seems to be confirmed. But no, Dustin Poirier. I know you've had some issues with staff and things like that. And I had staff. Yeah. Well, I think it was staff. But he's in hospital at the minute. Harrington, while Anthony speaks and I sit here trying my best not to interrupt, find some information to bolster these claims.
I tried to dig into it a little bit because he said he's going on his second day in the hospital. And then I seen the reports that it was likely staff and weren't getting control of it or something. So something I didn't know before I had staff really bad was that there's different strains of staff and there's different types of bacteria that grow. So what happens is you get a real bad infection sometimes it's in your blood, sometimes it's in your body. At some point, you know, it's somewhere. It looks like his is in his foot. They have to take some of it and then they go grow it like in a petri dish and then they have to test to see what kind of bacteria it is. So sometimes it takes a little while to get the right meds on board. So they give you kind of a general rush of just crazy antibiotics that just kind of fuck you up big time. Fucks with your stomach, your digestive system, your head. You just feel like asshole. But they give you that general rush of it. And then they start to dial it into that type of bacteria and that type of infection. So it seems like they're just trying to dial it in. I don't actually know. I'm just taking a shot in the dark here because it's kind of what they had to do with me.
Yeah.
It takes a couple of days for that bacteria to grow in the petri dish, essentially. And then figure out what kind of infection it is. And then they specify the meds to that specific infection.
Yeah, no, it is very serious, as we know, you know. So we wish him nothing but the best. But Conor McGregor, he's come out of the woodwork and he's talking a little bit of smack. Brian, if you can pull up the tweet, he's saying, he's doubting the legitimacy of his claim or something like that. What did he say? Harrington, Brian, tweet or a mention or a jump in, one or the other. Or we get both. Harrison, read it out. Came on.
Heal up soon, scruffy knickers. Some con- and Brett, quote tweeting Brett Okamoto's tweet, some context on Poirier. IG post about something about being hospitalized, told me it's staph, but he's not responding to antibiotics over the last 24 hours, undergoing further blood work now. Hopefully get some answers today.
Yeah, that's not the tweet that I meant, though. It's the one with Dustin and Connor going back and forth, talking lots of shit, talking lots of shit back and forth. Yeah, Dustin then responds with, hold on. he says, you haven't answered. Dustin says, you done filming Royd House and getting ready to get slapped around again. Pretty funny. Pretty funny. And McGregor says, and this is a good comeback, to be fair. Yeah, I'm in Amsterdam. Jack's like Van Damme. You weren't just hurt, pal. You were scared, hurt. Don't forget it. I'm coming back to put you in a box full of it. I'm sending you off this earth permanent. Just waiting for the Roadhouse as well, pal. You and your missus will love it. So talking a big game. Pretty sure he did that before the last one. Pretty sure he said he was sending it home in a coffin, in a body bag, and he left it.
Instead, he sent him home with a pocket full of cash.
Pocket full of cash and another win.
Yeah.
Another win. Yeah. You know what? Dustin said that he's done with that fight. He said, I'm not bothered.
Shut up. I don't
know, man. If I'm Dustin, I want that. Is it fourth match all day long? What about you?
Yeah. Yeah. Listen. I don't want to pull the curtain back too far here, Mike, but we all know the price tag that probably comes with a Conor McGregor fight. So you can say all you want, like, oh, I don't want it. I love Dustin Poirier. I love everything he stands for. Dustin's full of shit. He's going to take that paycheck any chance he gets, and I'm here to watch it. I'll buy it. I'll put money in his pocket. I'm here for it. Just for the build-up.
And that's a good fight for Conor to come back to, simply, I mean, because of stylistically. I mean, listen, Dustin will probably more than likely box his head off because, you know, on top of the, you know, he struggled with his form recently. Let's be honest. Yeah. That's being polite. And he just snapped his leg and he's been off for quite some time. That's a negative. He's getting older. He's enjoying the spoils of his riches. Fair enough. All that kind of, you know, all adds together in the pot, you know what I mean, to not being the optimum level fighter that you can be. You know what I mean? Don't want to mention silk sheets.
And he wasn't really in either of those last two fights.
Wasn't in it.
Like Dustin, wasn't. I'm a huge Dustin Poirier mark. I'll buy anything he sells. I'll watch any fight he's in. But taking my biases out of it, he's just better. It's just a fact.
The leg break was the best thing that happened to Conor McGregor and his fan base because it gave him an out.
Built-in excuse. It's a built-in excuse.
First, listen, I'm not sitting here hating on the guy. I wish him nothing but success. But I do.
He hates us.
He hates us. No, but when he snapped the leg, you know, it did because round two, probably, we don't know. We're rehashing old ground. We've talked about this probably a million times, both of us.
It's like the Nate Diaz cut.
Huh?
It's like the Nate Diaz cut in the Masvidal fight.
Yes.
It's very similar. Like, he's going to lose anyway.
Comparison.
So, like, the cut, it being a loss via cut was the best thing. He can say, oh, I was getting ready to turn it up in the later rounds. His fans still can believe. I don't think it's bad for anybody.
What's some other ones like that? So you had the McGregor leg snap, which kind of gives an excuse. You had the cut for Nate Diaz, Harrington and Brian, if you have any, chime in. What else did we have?
The Anderson Silva leg break. I hate to say it like that, but he was losing that fight too.
Was he losing to Weidman?
Yeah, he was already, if I remember right, it was in the second round. He'd already lost the first pretty badly. He got taken down.
I don't know if I'm buying that one.
Come on.
He's like, it's okay because I'm not selling it.
Yeah, I'm not.
Brian, were you going to say something?
I was going to say something maybe a little unfair, which is Aljamain Sterling. But he won.
Yeah. It's in the same kind of ballpark.
Yeah, though. It is. Yeah. It's not that far off, actually.
Yeah. All right, let's just talk about Shopify. If you're an entrepreneur, if you have a business, if you have something that you sell, you want to do it online. But getting online can sound expensive. It can sound complicated. Integrating an e-commerce function, getting payment functionalities, accepting credit card payments, the website design, all that type of things. But that's where Shopify comes in. It does all of that for you, and it does it very, very easy. Once your store is live, Shopify makes getting paid simple because, yes, they will instantly be able to accept every type of payment. Okay, so there's a big one straight away. Okay, so you sign up to Shopify, you get your store on there, and then, of course, you've got all kinds of benefits. There's 24/7 customer support, free on-demand business courses. Shopify is on your team every step of the way. Okay, so whether you're selling warm-ups or wall hangers, it's time to start selling with Shopify. Enjoy the platform, simplifying commerce for millions and millions of businesses worldwide. It's how every minute new sellers around the world score their first sale with Shopify. And now you can too. Listen, as I say, if you've got a business, you've got to be online. And this is one of the most popular and certainly the simplest way of doing it. All you got to do is go to the website, shopify.com/believe, and they're going to give you a free trial. As I say, when you have that trial, you're going to see this is incredibly easy and it's going to be incredibly effective. It's going to boost sales. They accept all kinds of major credit card payments. Any payment you want to give or take, they have that facility. So basically, with Shopify, you will customize your online store to your brand, discover new customers, and build the relationships that create die-hard fans, okay? And it's simple. For you, and it's simple for your people, for your customers. You're going to make money, right? And this does it in a great, easy, affordable way. Sign up for the free trial at shopify.com/believe. So as I say, go to shopify.com/believe so you can start selling online today and really making the most out of your business or, you know, your entrepreneurial spirit that you were blessed with. Seriously, shopify.com/believe for a free 14-day trial. It's a pretty good offer. Do you know what? Here was a funny one, a little bit of breaking news that Wonderboy came out with himself last week. He spent a weekend in jail.
When?
Did you see that? He says here, and Harrington put it in the notes. In fact, Harrington, you can come on and break this story to Anthony, but only if you do it in your posh voice. People have been calling for it in the comments. Posh voice it up. Give Anthony the story.
All right, then. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, as a younger man, decided it'd be a good idea to go with a couple of birds down by a waterfront and break into the pool skinny dipping. There were cameras installed because someone had been defacing the property. He was caught and jailed for a weekend.
Oh, right. Well, Brian says the video's cute. So Brian,
there's a video
of him skinny dipping.
Oh, him talking about it.
Ah, oh, devastated.
Yeah, arrive in prison. I mean, you might drop the soap a couple of times to make it by the night, but you'd be okay.
I pray that I don't ever go to jail. I spent a weekend one time, and it was really the worst. Yeah, dude.
What'd you do?
Just skinny dipping, man. And they had cameras, and we had no idea. And, you know, there was...
All right, kill it.
So came out Dilladong and Stephen Wonderdong just out there flopping in the wind.
But that is the most Stephen Thompson went to prison story ever, because he's like the most nicest, straight laced, yes sir, no sir, three bags full sir type of guy. Mm-hmm. And then I heard, oh, he went to prison. What? He was a bit of a bad boy back in the day. You know, he was a bit of a Johnny Lawrence in his youth. But no. He went to prison for skinny dipping. You know what I mean?
Yeah, with some birds.
Oh, righty then. Anthony. What's the first time you got arrested? What was it for?
Oh, first time. DUI was the first one.
Yeah,
it was a DUI. Yeah. Have you ever met Steven's dad?
I have. I mean, I haven't had a conversation as such. I've said hi. I've shook his hand. I've said, oh, you know, I'm a big fan of your son. And, you know, we've had polite pleasantries.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't sat down in a bar or had dinner or been in a dojo with him, nothing like that.
I expected his dad to be older, more proper, you know, fucking bow to me when you talk, like
Bible bashing.
Yeah.
Carolina.
I expected
y'all better get yourself to church on Sunday, son.
I expected an older version of Stephen. That's what I expected.
You bow your freaking head, son, on a Lord's Day. Y'all better pray. Yeah, one of them, but he's not, is he?
No, he's the polar opposite. He's funny. He's Does real. He drink? Yeah, yeah. He's
well then.
Stephen will have a drink too. I've had a few drinks with him. Stephen likes a few drinks here and there. He drinks girly drinks, if you can believe that.
Yeah, well, I can, but I like girly drinks as well. There ain't nothing wrong with a girly sugary drink. I like cocktails, but you know, I like him sweet. Like if you get a cocktail in a restaurant or a bar, what is your go-to?
Oh, you know the answer to this.
It's a whiskey or something manly.
It's a Moscow Mule.
Oh, of course, yeah. No, I love a Moscow Mule.
Yeah, yeah, I love mules.
See, that's I would class that somewhat as a girly drink.
Yeah, yeah. Stephen would get a Moscow Mule, but ask for an umbrella.
Fair.
And drink it, and not give a fuck. Just
oh yeah,
hitting on every 10 in the bar.
Yeah, God bless him, and rightly bloody so. First time I went to prison, I mean there was a lot. I can't remember.
Yeah, I was there a bunch.
Yeah. No, I remember we had GAT guns in England, like a pellet gun with powered thing, whatever. We were about 10, 11, something like that. My buddies had one. We were just like, ding, like shooting shit with it. And the cops drove by and they gave it to me. And I'm like, oh, shit, the cops. And I had it and they stopped and they were getting out. So I drop it on the floor and I stand on it. Do you know what I mean? Thinking I've got it fucking covered. And the cops come over like, hello, son. How you doing? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Nice gun you're standing on there. Oh, shit.
Damn.
In the back of the van. Let's go. Anyway, let's get into some mixed martial arts news. So, Harrington, what's the big story in mixed martial arts? Obviously, UFC 282 this weekend, but we're doing a show on Thursday. So I thought we'd save most of that chatter for Thursday's show. Harrington, if you see any breaking news, it seems like Aljamain Sterling versus Cejudo's going down. But I guess we should talk about, because it's big news now, and I want to tread carefully with this, the James Krause situation, you know. And I think are you friendly with James?
Yeah. I've trained with him before. He's cornered me before.
Yeah. So I'm sure you don't want to go too deep into it. And I don't either, because it's not something that I want to speculate on.
That's the tough part. There's a lot of unknowns.
Correct. You said it properly. There's a lot of unknowns. It's serious business. I know the Alberta and the Ontario commissions have currently suspended betting on the UFC. So that's making it a much, much, much bigger issue. So I don't know, man. Heads are going to roll eventually, I think.
Yeah, I will. What I can say is that there's a lot of rumors going around, and I'm not going to repeat them here because I don't want to be the person that's just, you know, spreading rumors. But if it comes out that like people did the things that they're saying, whoever's guilty is going to get propped up like a fucking scarecrow. If you're a scapegoat, thumbnail, it's like you did.
Thumbnail for today. It's you as a scapegoat. A scarecrow. Mm-hmm. He's a scapegoat.
That's okay. Perfect.
I don't know what a scapegoat looks like, but it's going to be a fucking good looking
one. It's going to be a good looking goat.
And we're fighting. Scarecrow versus scapegoat.
Perfect. But I think
he's a thumbnail guy, but that sounds cool.
Yeah. I think they're going to be made examples of. I think Dana, the UFC, the feds, the FBI, I think they're going to go scorched earth on everybody, because you don't mess with people's money. You don't mess with casinos, the original mobs, the original gangsters. So I'm not going to speculate, but whoever is guilty of whatever is going to have the wrath of God dropped on their head. I promise.
Well, they are as well, because not just, and I'll get to the UFC's kind of perspective in a minute, not their perspective, but my thoughts on why they want this dealt with the correct way. But you got to remember, sports gambling isn't even federally legal, if I'm correct, across all of the United States, but it's just opening up, isn't it, across various different states. It's a big thing, which would mean a lot of money to be made. So they have to use this guy as a scarecrow. It's not, it's a scapegoat, but whatever. Just look up the definition of scapegoat and scarecrow.
No, you prop a scarecrow up to scare the shit out of everything around it to keep it out of your corn.
And you scapegoat, you take the one guy that fucking caused this shit and you chop his head off and you rip his entrails out and you sprinkle it everywhere and you go, look, motherfuckers, this is what's going to happen. Fuck around, you're going to find out.
Okay, when you say it like that, it sounds more like a scapegoat.
We're going to take that goat. We ain't talking Henry Cejudo, Anderson Silva, or fucking Islam Makhachev, or Khabib, okay? No. So, obviously, so it's a big deal as well. So I think the authorities themselves are going to come down on this pretty hard. And then the bigger picture for me when it comes to the UFC is, you know, there's always critics. And this brings the integrity of the sport into question.
That's the word. That's the problem.
Yeah, it brings the integrity of the sport into question. And I know for a goddamn fact, as do you, I've been with the UFC now since December 2005. Right? You've been around it. We work with them behind the scenes as well. The integrity is there of the highest degree. They never get involved in anything like that. And you can call me a company man all day long, but I'm telling you, you think of the bigger picture, fights being fixed and things like that. That is not a part of the business of the UFC. They put on the best fights possible that they can, right? And stuff like this, it ever so slightly to a certain audience or demographic jeopardizes momentarily. It's not a big deal really, but the integrity of the sport. And that's not what we're trying to have. You know what I mean? So I think from the UFC's perspective, once the investigation takes place, you know, because again, we're speculating. We don't know all the details yet. Don't know much about it, to be honest. I only know, I haven't heard anything from the UFC because why would they tell me? It doesn't concern me. I only know what I read online, you know, mm-hmm. And even still, once this all shakes out, if there is a scapegoat or a scarecrow, it's going to be a big one.
It's going to be bad. I think you hit the nail on the head right there with that word, because when you read the headline, you know, Ontario Gaming Commission questions the integrity, right? Like those two words in any headline that involves the UFC is a problem. So if you're the source or the beginning of that problem, you're going to get a hammer dropped on your head, and you know what? You deserve it. Like that's, so I don't know who's guilty, who's not guilty, who's involved, who's not involved. I don't, honestly, it's not my shit. I don't give a fuck. It doesn't involve me.
Yep.
Thank God. But, It's a problem. It's a problem. And I totally understand, you know, the UFC doing whatever they have to do to get ahead of it.
All right. So you're from Arkansas. We're changing gears now.
Arkansas. From
Arkansas, right? What is...
Nebraska.
Omaha, Nebraska.
How do you fuck this up?
Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Why did I say Arkansas?
I don't know. We could go to Arkansas and do some hunting, though.
But it's near Arkansas, near you, right?
No.
Is it near Nebraska?
No.
Where the fuck is Arkansas?
Arkansas is...
Is that Bryce Mitchell territory?
Yeah.
Well, fucking gee whiz, I'm just getting my Omaha and my Nebraska.
Arkansas is near Texas.
Right. Well, anyway, regardless. So where are you from again?
Nebraska.
Nebraska. I am sorry. I'm sure it's lovely. Nebraska. What is like the local is map of the world as we know it? All right, Brian, kiss my ass.
That's fucking funny. Okay, that's funny.
The local delicacy in Nebraska, yeah. Like the most Nebraskan thing of all Nebraskan things, what could it be?
You're talking like food?
Just whatever. What it symbolizes Nebraska.
There's a couple things. It's called a runza. Is kind of like the Nebraska food. It's a weird kind of sandwich. So a lot of people know Nebraska for runzas. Obviously, the agriculture, like everyone thinks that there's nothing but corn and cows in Nebraska, and they're partially right.
That's, well, you own a lot of cows and cattle.
I do, yeah.
And sheep and cows and goats.
The steaks. Grammals. Omaha Steaks is here in Omaha. I used to work there when I was coming up. I forgot about Omaha Steaks. It's the best steak you can get in the world.
Well, I'll put that to the test.
You need to.
So you put Omaha, Nebraska on the map, Anthony, a lot on this podcast. We've just literally shown it on the map.
Yeah.
On the map putter place mark podcast holder. You ever been given the key to the city?
Never. Never.
You know who got the key to the city this week?
Diaz. Nate Diaz, huh?
Nate Diaz. Yeah. He got the keys to Stockton. You see that segue? See the way I went roundabout? You know what I mean?
I love that. Have you ever gotten a key to a city?
Have I? Fuck. Nothing. I haven't got a statue. I haven't got a key. I didn't get a bloody song and dance at the airport.
Damn. Jake Ellenberger got a key to Omaha once.
Jake Ellenberger?
Yeah.
Let's get it.
I'm going to go steal his key.
I was going to say. So, Harrington, do we have any more details about the key giving of the said city? The said key to said city? Because before you do that, I've got to say fair play to Diaz and Nick before him. Of course, they have always represented Stockton to the absolute fullest. I've never heard of Stockton apart from in relation to the Diaz brothers. Certainly never been there. From all accounts, it's a tough place to grow up. And they've repped it to the fullest. So well done to them, Harrington.
Yeah, I mean, we all know the area code. You know what I mean? Like, that's synonymous with, the Diaz brothers. So it was at a G League basketball game, actually. At halftime, they had a big ceremony. It's like Stockton's, like, closest thing they have to a pro sports team. And they did it. The mayor of the city gave it to them on the basketball court. It's pretty sweet.
No, it is. Oh, look at this. All right. We don't need to see it.
Good for him.
At the best of times, let alone through the Wi-Fi connection. I always thought the key to the city, wow, you got the key to the city. You can do whatever you want, but it doesn't mean that, right?
I don't think it means anything, does it?
No, it's just a key.
Damn it.
I know. Well, when I was younger, I heard you got the key to the city. I'm like, wow.
I think you could break all the laws.
Do whatever you want. I've got a key to the city.
Do whatever
Sounds very cool. But I'm being very, very juvenile. Harrington, give us a good story. MMA. Let's have a look. Cain Velasquez. We've got Dustin Poirier, Aljamain. We've got James Krause. I mean, Ali Abdelaziz has been talking a bit of smack. He wants to see Conor McGregor versus Justin Gaethje. Harrington, in the posh British person's voice, tell us what Ali was saying.
So he said, oh, I'd like to see Justin Gaethje destroy Conor McGregor and put him in a wheelchair. I'd love to see that. But it doesn't matter. Any weight, he can take all the steroids he wants. He can take all that juice, EPO, everything. Whatever he wants to take, he can take. I would like to see this fight. But we know he doesn't like tough fights anymore. He wants easy fights. He's probably not going to fight Justin Gaethje.
The enthusiasm on the accent dipped as it went on.
It did. Let's be honest. We have to pick that up.
Try harder next time. Justin Gaethje, Conor McGregor, McGregor's comeback fight. What do you think about that?
Love that. Love that fight. I think it's exciting. You're just not going to have to, Conor's not going to have to worry about anybody shooting takedowns. It's a tough fight for both guys. Conor doesn't typically deal with leg kicks super well because of his stance being so wide. Justin Gaethje is a big kicker, but Justin Gaethje is there to be hit. Conor's pretty good at doing that. So yeah. It's actually a pretty it's like one of those 50-50 coin flips for me.
It's a smart call out from Ali. Obviously he manages Gaethje, so he wants his fighters to be part of the biggest fights possible. You know, and great, good for him. You know, he went a bit overboard on the WWE promo there. You know what I mean? But you're right, because Gaethje does get hit, you know, and you can't argue with that. You know, he gets hit a lot. McGregor, for him, I think it'd be a good comeback fight. Obviously, it all depends if he's coming back at 155 or 170 or whenever the hell it's going to be, you know. But if we're just playing fantasy matchup right now, him and Gaethje, number one, you know, it'll be an amazing fight.
Mm-hmm.
And both guys can win it. Certainly Gaethje can win it. And McGregor hits hard, hits frequently, hits fast and accurate. So it'd be a great fight. It'd be a good comeback fight. Just going through the notes there. It's one of those. If we're trying to not talk about 282, we're scraping the barrel. Scraping the barrel.
We're going to kill it on Thursday then.
I can't wait. I can't wait for Thursday. Give me a non-MMA, Harrington. I'll tell you what, I'm gonna pick it. I'm going to pick it because your picks aren't the best. go with, all right, we'll talk about this one. Number 5. And this, and Anthony Smith's pick for dildo of the year. Harrison, go ahead.
So the Liver King, it comes out, shocker of the year, guys, was not as natty as he claimed to be. So an email came out showing a stack that he has, I think it was over $11,000 monthly between HGH and steroids to maintain.
That's just HGH. That's just HGH.
Really?
Start counting the rest. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
I've been digging deep, and we'll get to it all in a second.
But Harrington, oh, sorry, Brian, pardon me. You said you've got the apology. Play the apology, because you've ever seen a more insincere load of shit in your life. I struggle to believe it, because obviously he's got to come out. He's got to give an apology. He's got to own up to it and face it. But he still does it in a way where he's being the man and he's trying to, it's suicide prevention, which of course is a worthy cause. But no, he's taking steroids and he's blaming it on his doctor. There's no way any doctor would prescribe that amount of performance-enhancing drugs. And you know what? When you're not competing, it's not performance-enhancing drugs. You know what I mean? You can take all kinds of stuff for whatever medical reasons, peptides, HGH, whatever. Maybe you've got a medical condition. But that's nonsense. But can we play the apology, please, Brian?
Because I'm embarrassed and ashamed. Because I lied. And I misled a lot. I've stated that this is a complicated as fuck topic, at least to me it is, because before social media, I was rich and anonymous. And after social media, I'm still rich, but no longer anonymous. And
leave this up though when it ends, Brian, because I want to talk about him.
In the public eye. It's been tricky as fuck to navigate. Well, clearly I did it wrong. And I'm here now to set the record straight. Yes, I've done steroids, and yes, I'm on steroids, monitored and managed by
mind blown
hormone clinician.
What?
Liver
no,
King, a public figure, get was an experiment to spread the message, to bring awareness to the 4,000 people a day who kill themselves, the 80,000 people a day that try to kill themselves. Our people are hurting at record rates with depression, autoimmune, anxiety, infertility, low ambition in life. Our young men are hurting the most, feeling lost, weak, and submissive. So I made it my job to model, teach, and preach a simple, elegant solution called ancestral living, the 9 ancestral tenets, so our people no longer have to suffer.
All right.
So we can collectively express our highest and most.
Right. Dildo of the year for many reasons. We're just going to go back. We're gonna go back and forth, Anthony, on why is it dildo. Right. I'll go first. Sorry. Well, no shit, you're on steroids, because look at the goddamn size of him. Shock horror. There's reason number one, Anthony.
Well, he's a fucking liar for pretending that he literally said he was on steroids and created this whole persona to save people from killing themselves. Like, talk about fucking trying to shift the narrative.
Yep, and come off like a good guy, right? Yeah. Another reason you're a dildo. In this situation where you've been busted and you've got to be a little humble and all the rest of it, he still does it sitting in this grotesque, well, don't get me wrong, it's a very, very nice chair, fit for a king, I might add, but he does it in that this kind of scenario with his shirt off. The man has no shame. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Many reasons for dildo-esque qualities that this man has. We can lose him off the screen, Brian. Thank you. I mean, come on. I mean, number one.
What's like beyond steroids, who gives a fuck? You're not an athlete.
Well, he's trying to sell things.
And that's the problem. Why lie about it? That's the thing. Like, if you're on steroids, just say, yeah, I got some, my hormone levels are off. I'm trying to get bigger. I'm getting older. Like, I make up any fucking excuse you have to, but don't mislead. He talks about these young kids. Like, don't mislead these young kids, because then what? They're going to follow your 9 ancestral bullshit tenets that you made up, whatever the fuck that is. They're going to follow that, and then they're not going to look like you, and they're going to feel worse about themselves. So they're going to, be fair, I've dug way too deep into this and listened to, you know, an hour-long breakdown of the emails. It sounds like he's living that life. He's just doing it along with steroids, so he gets the extra bump. Like, so if people are doing it exactly the way that you say without the steroids and they're not getting the results, you're fucking with people's heads and making $1 million fucking dollars a day doing it.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's a business, you know. And then listen, to your point, regardless, you want to go out there, you want to take steroids, you want to live your life like that. You do whatever you want. I couldn't care less. You're not competing. You're not in a sport. You're not fighting for a living. I couldn't care less, bro. You know, but you are making money by fraudulent ways. You're filling people full of shit. And again, whatever, you know, it's not the worst thing ever. What I really dislike, though, is that now to try and twist it, that he's doing it to help prevent people committing suicide and people going through depression and things like that, because that's fucking bullshit. And that is a serious topic. And to use that as like a little get out of jail free card, do you know what I mean? That's his true reason for doing it. That's what I think is really shameful. And that's why he should be the grand owner of the inaugural Dildo of the Year Award. You know what I mean? Because that is not a laughing matter. You want to take steroids and lie to people, great. I don't think you were fooling anybody. You know what I mean?
You did a bad job of it.
Yeah, you were doing a bad job. No one was buying that, but you're not hurting anyone. But to you actually make a really good point about the young men or any kind of men or women living that lifestyle. Don't get the results. That makes them feel even worse. You know,
and credit to Joe Rogan too, because Joe said on his show the other day that the Liver King had been trying to get on for a long time, and then once this whole thing came out and he had to tuck his tail and apologize that he's been really trying to get on his show. Like, credit to Joe Rogan for not giving him that astronomical platform before, and then credit to him for not giving it to him now, because that could be a pretty big show for Joe because of how big the story is.
Yeah.
And because of his belief about it, he hasn't. I think that says a lot about Joe.
Well, Rogan's been calling him out for months, or maybe almost a year, just being like, there's no fucking way this dude is not on steroids. So.
Yeah, well, he had on, it was the More Dates, More Plates guy, or whatever he's called. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. And they were talking about McGregor as well. You know, he's pretty convinced. And then McGregor came out, didn't he? And he said, not McGregor, pardon me, Joe. He said, yeah, I think McGregor's piss would melt USADA's testing cup, which was pretty funny. But just going back.
He doesn't get no voice notes? Connor doesn't put no voice notes out about Joe talking about it?
What the fuck you're saying, Joe? He got a voice note, Anthony. He did. He got one, remember?
Oh, he was talking about the illegal knee. Yeah.
No, he got one. Yeah, this Liver King guy.
You need to get one.
Oh, I've had them.
Oh, lucky.
Oh, mine were worse.
Oh, yeah. I remember
scorched now. Earth ones. He was coming through my front door. He was going to cave my fucking head in. I better have security when he sees me. I don't have security because I fight my own battles. Yeah. Okay? Good luck. We're doing it again. I got it. I was having a laugh. But then MMA fighting will be Bisping criticizes the Liver King for being a dildo.
That would be a great one. We need that one.
Bisping, Anthony Smith, both together criticize Liver King. Stand by the criticism also. Don't tweet about it. Don't try and get out of jail. You know what I mean? What an idiot, you know? Yeah. And you mentioned it a moment ago. He probably is living that life. Eating all the stuff that he said as well, because you can't just take testosterone, human growth hormone, and look like he does. Mm-hmm. You know, if you like that, he's got a tremendous physique. You know what I mean? That still takes tremendous work. It takes tremendous discipline on what you're putting in your body, on the output that you're having in the gym, and just your general lifestyle, you know? So I guess to a certain degree, you know, let's not just hate on him because, you know, he's a human being, he's a person after all, and I'm sure he's not a bad human being, but he just fucking was perpetuating this lie, you know. And I'm just not keen on his excuse because that was particularly scummy, if you ask me. You know, just come out, hold your hand up and say, yeah, you're right. You know, my very, very unbelievable lie was found to be fraudulent and I was lying, and there you go. You know, don't try and pin it on suicide prevention.
No one believed it, but I lied.
Guys.
And I'm going to keep taking steroids anyways.
All right, let's talk about Manscaped. You know the one, you know, grooming below the waist, trimming the meat and veg, the frank and beans, the balls and the penis, but without hurting yourself, without nicking yourself, without causing your cock to bleed, because no one wants that. And that is where Manscaped comes in. You know about it by now. Okay, the 4.0, it's waterproof. It's got a light. It's got the Quiet Stroke technology. It's safe. It won't do you any damage. But of course, it has the Platinum Package, the 4.0. Okay, the Platinum Package has each product from the best-selling Performance Package Plus, Ultra Premium Body Wash, Ultra Premium 2-in-1 shampoo, by the way. I love that, the shampoo and the conditioner, and the ultra premium deodorant. Okay. Now, the performance package, as I said, lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the weed whacker, the nose ear hair trimmer, all the Manscaped shower gear is sulfate free, vegan. It's made for your skin, so it feels hydrated and smelling fresh. It has the crop preserver, the bowl deodorant, the crop reviver, ball toner. The Platinum Package 4.0 sitting under the tree is guaranteed to put anyone in the holiday spirit. And for the perfect stocking stuffer, add in the brand new body buffer. No, you don't get Bruce, okay? But you get the body buffer, an incredible body scrubber that makes exfoliating easy and a lot cleaner than the old loofah. As I say, sadly, you do not get Bruce Buffer loofing you, but you do get it all at manscaped.com, and you do it with the code Bisping because that is going to save you 20%. Your jingle balls will be ready for the holiday and your bank manager will thank you. Manscaped.com, Bisping is the code, 20% off and also free shipping. If you haven't got one of these, you've probably seen advertisements for it everywhere. That's because it's a great product. Buy one for yourself, buy one for your loved ones, buy one for your friend, your boyfriend, cousin, brother, uncle, dad, any other kind of guy. Manscaped.com, Bisping the code, free shipping and 20% off. You're not going to believe this. I've been holding this to myself for quite some time.
Okay, let's go.
And I need a confession from you, Anthony.
Okay.
And Harrington and Brian, we need a confession from all of you. Okay? But I'm sorry. But I don't like Dylan Danis.
What?
I know I pretend to. And I might not like Conor McGregor either.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Hold on. What else?
Oh, I'm English. I mean, if we're talking
I'm
about...
I'm fucking English, guys. I'm sorry.
If we're talking about people we don't like, I got a good one.
You got to say, Dear Lord, I confess.
Dear Lord, I confess.
Thank you to for everyone that. It's fine. I'm Michael. It's fine.
To everyone that I've misled up to this point. I don't get along with Luke Rockhold that well.
Deal breaker.
I Brian, got a confession.
Dear Lord.
To St. Anthony and St. Michael, Galen Joseph Bisping. Harrington's all right.
Oh, that's nice. That's a good one. Well done, Brian.
We should start doing confessions to St. Anthony and St. Michael. That's a great idea by you, Mike.
And it's a great t-shirt as well.
Yeah, we could get people calling in with their confessions.
I've got a ton of designs, Anthony. This guy, Matty from Australia, he's done these designs. They're fucking unreal, some of them. And it's populating apparently right now from YouTube onto the YouTube channel. The merch shelf is what they call it. So we'll see all these designs and you'll be able to buy them soon. So shout out Matty. And that's who did that new logo.
That's awesome.
I showed you before. But Harrington, confess.
I confess.
Dear Lord. Thank you. Just call me Michael.
I confess. Suck it, Brian.
Oh, that's terrible.
That was a nice one by Brian.
Oh, we're gonna fight.
Yeah, no, for sure, because there's always tension. There's a lot of tension. And Brian does talk a lot of shit. He takes a lot of hits at Harrington. And let's just go around this right now about Harrington. Harrington, come on, and Brian, come on. People are getting concerned in the comments. They're like, why are we always... Was I hard on you on Thursday?
No.
No.
That's the show.
Do you go home and cry yourself to sleep?
I mean, now that I have a home too, it makes it easier. But yeah, no, never once. Dude, I'm living the dream, and I try to impress that upon people anytime this gets brought up.
Right.
My complaints are not for the public, but they are... They're work related.
All right. Anyway, go on. How is it anything?
Well, no, I was just going to, I wanted to ask Anthony a question.
I'll go to the toilet. It's fine.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know. Okay. ATVs, motorcycles, you know, all kind of extreme sports. Some say, you know, you're the light heavyweight Donald Cerrone. with the action sports that you get into. Anthony, have you ever tried base jumping?
I've never base jumped. I would, but I never have.
I have a video that might change your mind about that.
Hold on.
Do you know that I was trying to bungee jump, or I was trying to skydive with no parachute not that long ago?
Don't do it.
So you can pay a whole shit ton of extra money. There's only a couple places in the United States you can do it, but you essentially just have a harness. There's no parachute, and you got a big D-ring on your back.
Is somebody going to come and catch you?
And you jump out, and then there's these experts that they fly to you in the air. And they have a certain amount of time to get to you, and they hook their harness to yours, and then they pull the chute. So I mean, I've been trying to do that.
That is...
But my wife is losing her shit over it.
Yeah, I can imagine. I was going to say that's life living on the edge. But you're not on the edge. You've jumped off the edge.
Yeah, she's such a prude.
No, that's near suicide. Like, I'm just going to say it. If you do that and you die, whilst I'll be sad and I'll have to go through the whole rigmarole of testing out new co-hosts, it'll be a whole issue. But, like, you kind of brought it on yourself. I would have limited sympathy. I feel more sorry for your family. I'd be like, well, Anthony jumped off a plane without a parachute. How happy was he really?
Really happy. But until you've reached that level of like just pure adrenaline where you think you're almost going to die and then don't, let's fucking go. I don't know what this dude's about to do, but I'm in.
He jumped out with a beer.
That's a Red Bull.
Travis was trying to do a Red Bull commercial. He's like a X Games like moto dude. And yes. This is the first time I've ever seen anybody do that. It was a while back.
But did he get caught? I'm assuming he did.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what I'm talking about. He's even ballsier than that. He didn't even have a harness on yet. He's got to put the harness on too.
And he didn't give a shit. He was like down in Red Bull, like, whoa, let's go.
There's something that happens to your brain when you get pushed to like the almost death scenario where where you don't die, and then it's exhilarating, and then you'll never get that feeling again until you get that close again. That's the problem.
I couldn't do it. My YouTube editor will not stop fucking texting me. I texted before when you were talking, doing my podcast, which was called for Leave Me Alone, John. TJ Dillashaw's team tells me he has not been released from the UFC roster and is not retired from MMA. Dillashaw has been removed from the UFC rankings while he takes what is expected to be a lengthy recovery for his shoulder injury. Well, removed from the rankings. Removed. Speculation. Beep, 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 beep. Is TJ Dillashaw out of the USADA testing pool while shoulder gets operated on?
Yes, that's fucking bullshit.
Do you think that's what that is?
Okay. If it's something we can all do from now on, fuck it. I don't even care. I'm going to show up to my next time I get hurt. Fucking promise you I show up to my next fight looking like this fucking Ngannou.
I'm sorry to hijack the conversation there, but it is an MMA podcast and this is quite the talking point. So you think that sounds like what he means is, because if he's been.
That's what it sounds like. Again, speculation. Be very clear to all the websites that are going to write this article. I'm speculating. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And I'm joking. I'm not going to show up to my next fight after I get hurt looking like Francis Ngannou.
So basically, if your speculation is correct, the allegation which you put forward, sir, we're talking like fucking lawyers now, aren't we? Do you know what I mean? Right. We never said, but it just shows the power of the English language. Because if you do choose the right words, and you find yourself in hot water. You said, "Oh, I never said that."
Yeah,
I said, "I."
This is not what I said. The allegation.
I assumed.
I speculated. I
merely speculated as to the particular outcomes of said circumstance.
Would never accuse anybody.
Just kicking the ball around.
Yeah, we're just
having sticks.
It's just a back and forth dialogue.
If he's come, so he's not been released from the UFC roster. All right, I didn't think so. I didn't think he'd retire. He's not retired from MMA, but he's been removed from the rankings. If he's been removed from the rankings, that would be because he's come out of the testing pool and he does need shoulder surgery.
Mm-hmm.
If we're continuing down the speculation avenue, new name for podcast, mate, potentially today, Speculation Avenue.
Yeah.
I'm going to rock down to Speculation Avenue so we can get the truth. Do you know that song?
No.
Oh, come on. I'm going to rock down to the Something Avenue.
No.
What is it? I'm going to rock. Babe, what's that song?
Electric Avenue.
Electric. We're gonna rock down to.
No, I don't know that one either. I don't know shit.
You don't. Well, that's obviously because he's, I would say, because he's come out of the testing pool.
Yeah.
And one could say inspired by McGregor's circumstances.
Could be. Could be. Mm-hmm. I'm not even saying he probably doesn't need it, to be fair.
Yeah.
There's probably a lot. Like I said, there's some things on there that could be helpful.
Well, yeah, of course. There's a reason they enhance your performance because they're good for the body and they do speed up recovery. That is a well-known fact, you know. It could set a new precedent for people that get injured because if you come out... And as I said to you before, Anthony, when I said Devil's Avocado, and I wasn't trying to argue the fact, and I certainly wasn't trying to defend Connor, but I was like, the way you laid it out, it just seems... He's technically not doing anything wrong.
Right. Right.
And TJ's, he's adhering to the guidelines. Mm-hmm. If you say, right, take me out of the rankings, take me out of the testing pool. I'm going to have surgery. I'm going to take a shit ton of juice. No, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, right.
Whatever. It just, doesn't it feel gross?
Medicine would be another word that they, a phrase that they may throw around.
Right.
Medicine. And then when I'm all healed up, then I'll come back in the testing pool. And when you put it like that, that doesn't sound like anything dishonest or what would be another word I'm looking for, immoral. But right. Brian, just look at while we talk, do steroids, because I think it has shown that you do get a lasting effect. That whilst it won't show up and you won't test positive, you still get a lasting effect.
For sure.
Yeah.
Would you feel differently about that if you were still competing?
Yeah. Well. I fought plenty of people on testosterone replacement therapy when I didn't even know they were taking it. You know what right. I mean? And I fought plenty of people that were on juice, and you know. And again, I don't know. I don't know. That's called manipulating the system in their favor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I personally wouldn't ever do that if I was fighting because. I like to look at myself in the mirror at night and I like to know that I won that fight based on my ability and my hard work and my training. I don't want to take any shortcuts. Never took a shortcut in my life. But I do understand that, and a manager, that sounds like a smart way. If you're going to be out because you've got to have surgery, this sounds like a smart way. It sounds like a loophole is what it sounds right. like.
So I just read a report, a Norwegian scientist, told the BBC that steroids can have an effect up to 10 years in the future.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. So there's that. Anyway, we're a couple of meatheads that don't know our ass from our elbows.
Fair.
Stuff like fair. That. Harrington, play this base jumping thing. You've been itching. He was telling me before about it. I haven't seen it. Let's take a look. Let's take a look at the base jumper. But base jumping sounds mental.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's not great.
Oh no.
Oh my god.
Oh my.
Oh my god.
Oh no.
Oh my god. Is he just hanging there?
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Did that guy die?
Base jumping. Is that something you do? Let's just see it one more time.
Oh no.
Oh, he
jumps off and then.
Oh my goodness.
A massive gust of wind.
I've been there too.
Oh no.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh, I've no. been there.
Oh my god.
Poor guy. Poor guy. Base jumping looks like a mental one. And they call it threading the needle, don't they? I think when they go through like some of the, or was that just an episode of Simpsons or Family Guy? It's Family Guy.
No, well, those wingsuit dudes, me and Harrington actually watched the video squirrel suit weekend. Guys. They do some wild shit. I saw a dude go through a three meter hole in like a stone going like however the fuck fast you're going in one of those squirrel suits.
Let's wild. Go.
I am sure that is one of the best feelings in the world. Feeling like you can actually fly and with being able to manipulate the air currents with the wings and whatnot, but that terrifies. It's cool as hell to watch, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't say I'm traditionally scared of heights, but I'm pretty scared of like super high heights.
Yeah, I would jump in the squirrel suit in a heartbeat.
No way, man.
I would. I would. I'd be terrified.
How much does it cost?
I don't know. Let's do it.
GoFundMe, because I ain't paying for it. We're doing a GoFundMe.
Well, when they send all the bits and bobs to 7616 Burlington Street in Omaha, Nebraska, they're going to send money to Michael Bisping, but send it there too, and I'll hold on to it.
Low end, $17,000. High end, $30,000.
We're going to be waiting a while.
Really?
Oh, not to rent one out, to get one.
Like buy the suit?
Yeah.
Oh.
Or to buy the suit.
Look on Amazon. There's got to be one on Amazon.
Harrington.
Dude, I found one that says they will rent it for $200 a month plus shipping.
Yeah, but
let's go.
But listen,
there we go.
It's something that you need to live your life by. You generally get what you pay for. And when I'm jumping off a fucking squirrel suit and jumping off a giant squirrel in a squirrel suit, I want a good one. I don't want one that Harrington found on eBay for $200. I want fucking Brian's 17,000 all singing, all dancing, fucking body armor, fucking bulletproof, fucking glow in the dark. I don't want Harrington's version.
Bulletproof.
Yeah, dude. Used flying suit doesn't sound like the best idea.
Yeah.
That sounds like using a used condom. This is a bad idea.
Anyway, all right. Well, we're dragging this one out. Harrington, is there anything else that we need to get to before we go to questions, bud?
No, I think you guys covered it all on the best MMA comedy podcast.
It certainly bloody is. Yeah, we're back Thursday. Big show. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson joining us after that insane victory. We also got Tom Aspinall giving an update on his leg and what he's up to and when he'll be back in the octagon. Anthony Smith is going to be here with us, you know, all singing, all dancing. Jamal Hill, how's training camp going?
We're not really into full-fledged camp yet. I'm just getting in shape. So I've been doing a lot of strength and conditioning so I can start camp in shape already. That'll be a new one for me. So, yeah, I'm just trying to get skinny and in shape so I can just hit the ground running.
Yeah. No, smart. Very smart. I wish I did that more. You know what I mean? Because a lot of the time I always had a lot of weight to shift. I'm dealing with a broken back. It's getting worse and worse by the day, bro. It is painful. Yeah.
Well, you going to have surgery soon?
No, I'm not having a surgery. I'm having an ablation. Did we talk about this?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, but they can do a surgery. And they said the doctor said generally they would operate on this. He said, but the surgery, they come through your stomach and they come through the back and they remove this, they put plates in, they put titanium screws, all kinds of things. And it'll cause more problems. And a lot of the time, it's not guaranteed to work and it doesn't have a high success rate. He said, so what they want to do is they're going to do it. It's called an ablation where they fry the nerve. You know, so they'll put something in there. I don't know how to get to it and just zap it with electricity, kill the nerve so it doesn't send the signal of pain to my brain. So the problem's still there, but I just can't feel it. And the only issue with that is he said that you've got to be careful. Don't do squats. Don't do deadlift. He said, don't do seated fucking shoulder press and stuff like that, which is one of my go-tos. Shoulders and biceps on a Monday, bro. I was doing it today. And Rebecca's like, what are you doing? Don't do that. Because he said it can cause the disc might just pop out.
And you wouldn't feel it.
Well, I'd feel it. Yeah. I wouldn't feel it until it popped. So I've got to alter some things in my lifestyle. But ablation. We're getting ablated.
Ablated. Bro. Let's get ablated.
We're going to get, I was ablated at the weekend. if you want to send in a video question, do so to bympod@gmail.com. Listen, note, on the questions, we had to deal with Brian going on lecturing about the length of the questions, clear, concise, to the point questions, unless it's Diana. All right. She can go on all day long. Other than that.
Now we're creeps again.
This is not a 5 minute, you're not coming in and it's not a therapy session. Brian asked me and said, to the point, these questions have got to be. So please do that when you send them in to bympod@gmail.com.
Speaking of to the point, if you're watching the show, if you're listening to the show on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you're subscribed to the show. Leave a 5-star rating, positive review. It helps us out. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed to the channel and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever new episodes come out. And if you're watching that first premiere thing, hit that little like button. It helps us out. Also, if you want to catch over 400 episodes ad-free and uncensored, head to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get a 7-day free trial. Check out over 20 great shows on the network.
All right.
So first question we have here in our pile of concise questions is from Primo.
T
Gentlemen, let's get right to it. Three questions. Michael, when did you start shaving your chest? Anthony, when did you start shaving your head? And Harrington, when did you start shaving your back?
Oh, I like it. That guy's got presence to the point.
It's precise.
When did I start shaving my chest? I mean, no one really wants to know. I mean, that is a bizarre question to ask another man. Right? Have you ever asked another man, when did you start shaving your chest?
No, I've never asked that question. But now I'm curious, so go ahead.
Well, I don't know. I didn't start shaving my chest until I'd never done it. Oh, I know. I remember the first time on The Ultimate Fighter, when I was on The Ultimate Fighter. Because you guys love to shave your body, Anthony. When I say you guys,
what do you mean, you guys?
The Americans. If you look at Dagestanis, they're like mini bears, right? I remember I was on The Ultimate Fighter when I first shaved my chest as a contestant, but I remember I was on there as a coach, and everybody shaves their legs, and I don't, because I'm a real man, and I'm getting mocked. Everyone's mocking me. Look at those legs, hairy leg bastard, and all the rest of it. So it got to me. That was sad. The peer pressure got to me, and I remember Tiki, I borrowed his shaver, who I was sharing this apartment with, and I went in my bathroom and I shaved one of my legs, and I was fucking horrified. And I screamed at Tiki, I've made a terrible mistake. And he thinks there's something really bad going. He runs, he goes, what's wrong? I'm like, I've shaved a leg. And he's like, what the hell? So I had no choice but to do the other one. Do you know what I mean? And it just felt bizarre. We don't shave our body parts in the UK unless it's the head, maybe the chest, but not arms and legs.
Right. No, I'm not a very hairy person, so I just never have been. So I've never had to worry about any of that. I started to lose all that. I don't know. It's probably been, 5 years, 6 years since I started shaving it pretty close like this, just because my hairline sucks. And every once in a while, when I'm shaving my face, I look down and I got 7 or 8 real manly fucking chest hairs. And seven or eight, maybe 10. Right. And I'll just, it's enough to where I need 2 stripes to get rid of them.
Oh, you wax?
No, just 2 little stripes with the razor.
Oh, you use a razor, like a proper razor? No, I use my either the Manscaped.
Oh, I use the Manscaped thing on my chest, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, or just what I use on my face.
Sponsored by Manscaped.
Sponsored by Manscaped.
This segment is brought to you by Manscaped. I've never hurt myself once. All right, okay. What was your question? What was Harrington's? He didn't have one. Brian, what else we got?
All right, so this next question is from Mr. Sam McLean, and I'm really just playing it so his family is warned.
Right. If you could get away with it, would you hunt down the people that have wronged you in your life so you could cut their ears off and make a necklace out of it?
Yeah. For sure. You could get away with it.
I don't know if I would.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, there is a few people I would definitely chop their ears off. There's a few people.
Yeah.
Generally.
Generally, not all of them. Could I think of some people that I would? For sure.
Would you say that you hold grudges?
Yes and no. If it's pretty bad, I wouldn't say that I hold a grudge. I would say I delete people pretty quickly. So I have this uncanny ability just to pretend like you never existed in my life. Mm-hmm. I just erase that part of my brain like it never happened. And I'll see if I ran into you, I would literally feel like you were a stranger.
Yeah, that's really a good odd skill thing. To have. That's a good skill to have.
So I don't know if that's holding a grudge though. That's just, if you really wrong me, I'll just fucking delete you.
Well, I don't believe that's wrong, because you've got to have sometimes an ability to whether it is that they have wronged you, or if they're just a toxic person, a toxic person in your life and just bringing in negative energy, whatever it is, or they've wronged you or whatever. It's a good ability to have. Do you know what? We're done.
Yeah.
See, I don't need this in my life. I don't need this stress. So goodbye. I don't think I hold grudges. There's certainly a few people that have wronged me majorly, you know, that if I had an opportunity and I could get away with it, I would murder them.
Right.
And not feel one iota of shame.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very short list, but there's a list. And if you're fucking on it.
if the purge was a real thing, I know exactly where I'm going.
If you could get for one night, if you just murder one person,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, that'd be a tough one. There's a few, it's a joint first. There's a few on the joint first. All right, Brian, I do believe that go on, Brian, you got someone?
We do have one. Oh, no, I thought we were just going to the last question.
Yeah, but do you have someone that you would murder? Or chop their ears off?
Sometimes. I don't know. I try not to be mad all the time. You know, it's a bad way to live.
You have a bad temper, Brian. No, I can see you. I know you've got a bad temper.
People don't know.
I have seen Brian lose his shit.
I do. I have a really bad temper. It's a really bad look on me too. I need to.
Anthony,
I've been working on it.
Anthony, do you?
Not really. It takes a lot. Well, I guess it depends on the definition of temper. It takes a lot to get me to like blow my top. But once I blow it, it's fucking bets off.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a disaster.
I'm better significantly. I've said this a million times, but yeah, my temper can be bad. It can be bad. And I don't mean when I lose my temper, it's not me.
Yeah. You know somebody what I mean? Else.
Because it's not rational words that I'm saying. It's not. I've just all bets are off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I'm going to insult whoever it is. I'm going to say some really nasty, mean things. I'm going to lower myself. I'm going to make a complete fool out of myself.
I may or may not throw a thing at somebody if they're in range.
I generally won't remember it because I'm in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, be full of shame and regret.
Shame.
Oh, no, I remember. I'm just also full of shame and regret most times.
And I just want to apologize. Yeah. And I do. But I have no problem recognizing afterwards, go, wow, I was a total dickhead. And I'll apologize. And people go, we're good. And I'm like, no. I apologize again. And they're like, you've apologized 20 times. I'm like, yeah, but I want you to know. It's not just, I'm saying sorry. I'm like, I'm really sorry. You know, I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't lose my temper like that.
Well,
put fucking Roland Vixer on and cheer us up.
I'm literally about to do that.
Roland.
This is the most brief question we've ever had.
Anthony, do an impression of Roland Vixer.
I can't do the whole impression. Come on, I can't. I'm going to practice. I'm going to practice for Roland next time.
Next week, we got you.
How often do you Google yourself?
It's the look on the face. How often do you Google yourself?
Hey, one more time. One more time.
Yeah. Let's do that again.
Yeah, let's do it again.
How often do you Google yourself?
This guy could be a comedy character in like a sketch show or something.
I know.
You know? Oh, I like this guy. I want to meet him.
We should get him on.
Do you know what? It's not from an arrogance perspective or anything like that, because without sounding like an absolute complete wanker, you know, I've been fighting and stuff like that for a long time, and there's stuff online, but sometimes I do it to just check that like some controversy hasn't come out of what I've said. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it. If I know I said something a little bit hairy, like, ooh, maybe we should check that.
I just Google it. This is news. Just Michael Bisping says,
put it into Twitter. See what people are saying.
I wasn't criticizing.
Yeah. Not often, though.
Nah.
Maybe.
That Roland Vixer. Maybe. Well, Anthony, I'll let you get the last word on this one, seeing as you are coming back on Thursday. What did we say? There was two. Oh, Speculation Avenue or Scarecrow versus the Scapegoat?
Scarecrow versus the Scapegoat.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's today's episode. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back Thursday. Anthony Smith, Tom Aspinall, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Be well, be safe, subscribe, ring the bell, buy the merch in the store.
Sure.
And take care, Anthony.
Yeah, well, I hope by this time next week I got some believers who sent me some bits and bobs. 7616 Burlington Street, Omaha, Nebraska. And I appreciate the shit out of you guys.
I'm going to send you this.
Oh, what is it?
That's a giant silver coin.
I need one.
It's a big silver coin.
I need some solid bits and bobs. Silver. Bits and bobs.
Lots of bits, lots of bobs.
Bottles of alcohol would be fine too.
Money.
Oh, there's a guy that sent me a message on Instagram that had like these deer skulls. I haven't replied to it yet, but if he's listening, send me one of those fucking things. Those things are cool.
I want a deer skull.
Can we get you a jackalope skull for the podcast, dude?
You see what I've got in the background?
Dude, I need a skull. And I need I need the neon sign, too.
Yeah. You know where that came from?
Where?
Hobby Lobby.
Really?
Like $5. You know, it looks the part, though. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd love it.
Yeah, I've got a massive one. Anyway, whatever. We're ending the show.
All right,
guys. Take care. Much love.